Device you can hold up and use as your Bible this morning, or the leather bound one, but hold it up and let's say this together. They're going to put the words up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Listen, one of the reasons why we say that before we hear the Word of God is because there's a principle that when we confess with our mouth, it opens up our heart to receive. And so listen, I'm ready, I prepared, I've prayed, and I want you to receive this morning what God has for you from His Word. So you ready to receive? Let's pray this morning over this message before we begin. Father, we just come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that today you will minister through the power of your Spirit this message to every person that is here. Lord, we declare it will be life-changing. Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you created each one of us with purpose. And throughout this series, we will discover and walk in and live out that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a new series right now. Let me hand you these. We are in a new series right now. We started it last week entitled Created with Purpose. Now, when it comes to purpose, you know, it's a really big deal. Do you know that they say that 87% of people who claim to follow Christ, who claim to know Him as their Savior, would tell you they don't know their purpose. And so we don't want that to happen here at Faith Life Church. In fact, discovering your purpose or helping you to do that is a part of our mission. In effect, if they just put up the mission of Faith Life Church, Faith Life Church exists to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, and make a difference. In this series, or in the message today, in this series, I'm going to minister to you a message that I've simply entitled, Let God Work. But before we get into that message, I just want to remind you that when we're dealing with purpose, we're really answering one of life's biggest questions. How many people have asked this question, what does my life mean? What am I here for? Does my life have value? Am I significant? Is there a level of significance or value to my life? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? I want to assure every one of you today that God has created you on purpose, and He created you with purpose. And I'm believing that as we go through this series, if you've already discovered your purpose, you're going to be stronger and grow in that purpose. It's amazing how the purpose that God has for our life, it continues to unfold before us. And I believe that if you have not discovered your purpose, that God's going to help you to do just that. Now, last week we started out by sharing with you five ways that you can discover your purpose, and here they are. Number one, if you're going to discover your purpose, know your Creator. Who better than your Creator to tell you your purpose, to reveal that to you? And then understand redemption. Really, when we talk about your purpose, we're talking about the purpose that you have in Christ, the purpose that God created you with in Christ, and then overcome sin's damage. Don't get stuck in the damage of sin. Don't live like a victim. All of us have some damage in our life, and we need God to repair that, and we need to get over it. You can get stuck there. Don't get stuck. It's happened to all of us. Number four, discover the new you, who you are in Christ. And number five, let God work. Now, we stopped there last week, but I want to pick up right there. But I want to share this with you when we talk about letting God work. The first way we let God work is we let Him come into our life. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And when we accept Christ, we are brought into a relationship with God through the person of Christ. And I tell you what, a work of God happens in our life. In fact, that work that happens in our life is explained in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. So let me read it. And this is also the text for this series. But Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Wow. You're God's masterpiece. He's created you anew in Christ Jesus. Now, he created you with a purpose. He created you so you can do some things, but it's bigger than that. The work of God in you is bigger than that. But before I explain some more about this scripture, let me just remind you of the definition that we're using of the word purpose. It's a very simple one. Purpose, the reason for which something is created. Purpose, the reason for which something is created. Now, in this passage, we begin to see the reason for which you were created. God's work in you, becoming a masterpiece. God's doing something in you so that he can do some things through you. And once you let God work in you, now listen, this is a part of this letting God work is after he works, and I'm talking about salvation in you, then you need to put faith in his work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
You need to have faith in the work that God has done in you. You see, God didn't just create you in Jesus to do something. He created you in Christ, made you new to become someone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good.
Wow. You see, a part of your purpose is knowing who you are. Our being is more important than our doing. You see, if you're going to fulfill the purpose, and we know this, we know that anyone's purpose in life is connected with abilities and gifts that they have. Listen, if you're not gifted to do something, please spare us. But I've seen some people who have discovered their gift. And they're using their gift, but somewhere along the way, they lose sight of who they are in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And they begin to identify more with what they do than with who they are. And listen, your being is more important than your doing. Because I don't want you to just fulfill your purpose. And we talked about that last week. It's wonderful when you're able to exercise a gift or a unique talent that God has given you. And every one of us, every person here has some unique talent.
Yeah.
Some unique gift, something that is necessary, something that is needed, something that would bless someone, that would be a blessing in some way. But it's not just about what you can do. This work, this masterpiece that you become in Christ is God's finest work. In fact, we've described or defined rather that word masterpiece. Really, masterpiece simply means an artist or craftsman's best piece of work. See, you got to put faith in the fact that you are God's best piece of work. You are not what you do, but who you are. And see, until you know who you are in Christ, you won't be able to do in a successful way, in a long-term way, in a fulfilling way. You won't be able to do what he's called you to do unless you know who you are. Unless you understand That your being is more important than you're doing. The new you, the new person you become in Christ is his best piece of work. He said he's created you anew in Christ Jesus. He redeemed you. He restored you. It's an amazing work that happened in you when Christ came in you. Now, listen, if you don't know Jesus, then you can come to know him today and he will do a marvelous work. It is called redemption. And really, with redemption, the forgiveness of your sins, bringing you into the family of God. You're born anew in Christ. You become a new person in Christ. Come on, you are God's masterpiece. Don't ever forget that. Because you see, the world would like to tell you that you are what you do. And if you don't do what you do, as well as someone else does what you do, then you're less important. And it's simply not true. You know, there are some people that are called to build businesses. Other people are called to help that person build their business. But listen, both are important. I think it was Rory McIlroy, that one of the golfers that, you know, he's an excellent golfer. And he said that his wife had been so helpful to him because his wife said, listen, whether you're shooting, whether you're shooting a 75 or a 65, you're Rory. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, come on.
Yeah.
Now, come on. Now, come with me this morning. Listen, you are not what you do. Yes, it is fun and is it exciting to operate in your gift and to be a blessing to people. But don't ever forget that what the greatest work that God has accomplished in your life is not giving you a gift. It's creating you anew in Christ. In fact, can you hand me that Rubik's Cube? Now listen, we're going to get to in this series. In fact, next week, we're going to start talking about your giftings and how to discover your giftings. And I want to do a big invitation right now. I want to invite any of you or all of you who have not been to our growth track. Next week, it's Growth Track 201. It's happening right now. 101 is happening in this service. But if you've not been to our gift assessment to discover your gift, you know what? You can sign up out there today. You can sign up online this week. You can go to that class next week and will help you discover your gift. It's important to know your gift. But first, it's important to know who you are. And you see what redemption is all about is I've got this Rubik's Cube, and you know how many of you know sin can mess you all up? I mean, you could get just all. And how many of you know when one of these things gets messed up, I'm going to hand it down here to Jeff, and he's going to figure it out. He's going, come on. How many of you know?
Take it to Ethan.
He's going to take it to Ethan. Let Ethan figure it out. But now listen. You know what? He got it fast. Now listen. How many of you know? We try to figure out things in life, but you put it in the hands of a master. Come on, you put your life in the hands of the Master, God Himself, your Creator, and He's redeemed you. Don't ever forget who you are. And when you are secure in who you are, then you can do what God's called you to do. And let me give you an example of this. You know, many of you are familiar with Joyce Meyer and her husband Dave. You know, Dave's not out front. And he said when it first when the ministry first started unfolding, he was a little bit like, wow, my wife's out front and who am I? You know, I'm supposed to be the man. I'm supposed to be in charge. And you know, it's real quick. God really quickly helped him to see that he was gifted to be behind the scenes. He was gifted to support her. And he said, it didn't take me very long. He said, I was just being who I was. Come on, he's secure in himself. It's not about what you do. Someone else may judge what you do, but you know who you are.
Yes.
Listen, if we're going to fulfill our purpose We need to respect the work of God in us. We need to put faith in it. Let me talk a little bit more about our who and do, and then I want to get to let God work this morning. But Ephesians 1:11, this is the Message paraphrase. It's not a translation of the Bible. It's a paraphrase. But listen what it says regarding our who and our do. Ephesians 1:11, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had design on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. Oh, I love it. He's working it out in everything and he's working it out in everyone. But here's what he teaches us. He said, now listen, he says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are. And it's in Christ that we find out what we are living for. Listen, it's much bigger than just what you do. It's about your life. It's about the inside peace, the inside joy. It's about being secure in who you are in Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Can we just have a little confessions of the pastor? Now listen, there were years that I struggled thinking that what I do made me more valuable. And then when I didn't get what I thought was the appropriate amount of praise or the appropriate amount of growth or whatever, then I felt so condemned. I felt condemned because my who wasn't in Christ. It was in what I do. The enemy will lie to you. Come on, but thank God the word was planted in me and I knew that wasn't true, but I struggled with it. And listen, it's kind of normal to struggle with that sometimes, especially if you're doing what you know you're called to do and you don't quite see the fruit yet, then you begin to wonder, am I doing the right thing or who am I? What's going on here? Go back to this. It's in Christ. Come on, it's in Christ. He's working things out. Let God work in you. He created you anew in Christ so you can do the good things he's called you to do. But how do you do the good things? First, you know who you are. You know who you are in Christ. What we do is secondary to who we are. And it's in Christ, though, that we discover both. We discover who we are, and we discover what we're called to do. And here's the thing. When you know who you are, then you can do what you're called to do. David Meyer sits on the front row because that's what he's called to do. He's secure. He knows who he is. He doesn't try to get out of his lane and do something he's not called to do. You see, here's the thing about knowing your who, and don't get your who and your do messed up, because we see a lot of people who have found their gift. In fact, their gift has taken them to amazing places. But can we just be honest? Their gift has taken them amazing places and they have a lot of things, but their life is crappy. Yeah. Is that cussing in church to say crappy? But their life's a mess. Even though their gift, you might say, is flourishing and their gift, they're getting achievements, they're making achievements, yet their who is all messed up. And so like the scripture says, they're not having a glorious life. Jesus said, in me, you can have a glorious life. You can get your who straight and then you can enjoy doing what you do. Because you're not looking for what you do for your value, but you found that in me. You're secure in me. Don't compare. Don't compete. Don't complain. How many times do we compare ourselves to someone else? Yeah. And we're just looking at their Facebook posts. Yeah. There's always somebody that has a better family picture than you. But what you don't know is how much they had to pay those kids to smile like that. Or that they have a whip behind their hand. And you just thought, why can't my family do that? glorious living is when we get both our who and our do from Christ. Now let's talk about let God work. That's God's work in our life. We put our faith in it, but there's more things that we've got to work out if we're going to fulfill our purpose. And it is God's plan that we fulfill our purpose, that we get our who and our do to live that abundant life, the glorious life. Romans 8, we used this last week, but let's go back to it. In Romans 8, 28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." Wow. It's the big picture here. And we got to let God work in our lives. This scripture teaches us that if we trust God, and actually if we were to back up just a couple of verses, you'll see that this verse follows the verse that says pray.
Yeah.
You got to pray. You got to talk to God. You got to let God work in you. And he said, "But listen, God," he said, "God will work it all out. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and," listen, "are called according to his purpose for them." In other words, he will work everything out so that it helps you fulfill your purpose. Come on, let God work.
Yeah.
And then there's two ways that God wants to work. He wants to work in you so you become more like Jesus. And can I just be honest with you?
Come on.
None of you are just like him yet. Or should I say none of us, including me? So we still got to let God work in us. We're on our way. We're better than we used to be. We're growing. But come on, there's still some work. Better is good. Improvement is good. Growth is good. Let God work. Let God work in you. But now here's the thing too. You also need to believe that God's going to work everything out here for your good. And usually what happens is God uses things out here that aren't working for good to work good in here while he's working things out there. And sometimes when things aren't working out around us, we stop letting God work in us.
Come on.
Well, that just doesn't work. Look what's happening to me. Listen, some of you could be the star in the movie. Here's the victim. Here comes the victim. I could a couple of times. I'm talking in big things, small things, where you just get caught. Well, why isn't it happening for me yet? You know, why isn't this happened yet? Why isn't that happened? Listen, we got to let God work. We got to let him work inside. Sometimes the work he wants to do inside is just allow us to grow patience on the inside while he's working things out here. If we're going to fulfill our purpose, if we're going to be who he's called us to be and do what he's called us to do, we got to let God work inside and we got to let God work outside. Now, I can't think of a better illustration of someone's life that demonstrates God working in them and God working around them or working things out around them than the story of Joseph. The life of Joseph is a perfect depiction of God working in and God working things out. And it's amazing. Come on, I hope you're with me this morning. The more we let God work in us, the more things work out on the outside of us. But the real work His masterpiece is what he's doing in us, changing our attitude, changing our perspective, changing our heart toward people. Mm. Getting rid of judgment. Look at Joseph's life. You remember Joseph's dream. Genesis 37, starting with verse 9, it says, "Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. 'Listen, I've had another dream,' he said. 'The sun, moon, and even the 11 stars bowed low before me.' This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his brothers scolded him. But his father scolded him. 'What kind of a dream is that?' he asked. 'Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?' But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant." Wow. Now, we know the end of the story. We know that the story goes on, and Joseph eventually did become second in command in all of Egypt, and his father and his brothers, especially his brothers first, bowed down before him. Yeah. But a lot of things happened before Joseph got to the palace. Yeah. A lot of things happened before he really was in his purpose and living out that purpose. He had to let God work in him, and he had to let God work through him. But let's look at a couple of things that happened to Joseph. The first thing that happened is his brothers sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him, and then his older brother Reuben intervened and said, "Listen, let's not kill our brother. Let's throw him in this pit and, you know, some wild animals. He won't live, but let's not have his blood on our hands." Well, they threw him in the pit, but then along came an Ishmaelite band of salesmen and stuff, and they said, "Hey, we got an idea. Let's make some money off of him." How many of you know this doesn't look like the dream is coming true? But you see, Joseph had faith in the God that gave him the dream. And they wind up selling Joseph into slavery. And then the Ishmaelites took him down to Egypt. And then they sold him to Potiphar, who was captain of the guard. He was in the military there in Egypt, higher up. And now listen, you know what Joseph did? Even though he was a slave, he did not become enslaved to his circumstances. You see, some of you today, now listen to me, I believe this is for some of you today. You're enslaved by your circumstances. You think that what's happening around you, you're in a Potiphar's house, you're not free, and you think that because of where you are, you cannot do what God's called you to do, and you certainly can't be who God's called you to be, or you must not be who God's called you to be, or you wouldn't be where you are.
Come on, that's good.
Not true. Joseph was enslaved, but he did not let slavery become a part of him. He didn't become enslaved to his circumstance. And you know what he did? Right in the midst of being a slave, he did what God called him to do.
Yeah.
And he was who God called him to be. Because when Potiphar's wife threw herself at him, he said, "That's not me." And you know the story, as he ran away from her, she grabbed his coat, and then she was so upset that he wouldn't take her advances. Then she lied on Joseph and told her husband that he tried to rape her. He was coming on to her, and then, you know, it doesn't get any better. Yeah. Then Joseph goes from being a slave to being thrown in prison. Wow. But you see, even while Joseph is in prison, he doesn't become imprisoned with bitterness. He doesn't become imprisoned with unforgiveness. And I know that he doesn't, because we see God working in him. And once again, you know what he does? He takes what God has given him, which is administrative abilities. He was a good businessman. And in Potiphar's house, he had caused Potiphar to succeed. And now in the prison, he caused things to run well in the prison. You see, he didn't get all bitter and say, "Well, bless God, I ain't doing a thing. They don't appreciate me. I don't get paid what I need to get paid, so why should I do it?" Because of who you are.
Yeah.
because of who you are, and because that's a gift that God gave you to do something. And so let God work in you, and then let God, trust God that he's going to work things out here while he's working in you. God, while things aren't working out, work in. Won't you work in me? Because you want to fulfill your purpose. His circumstances didn't change who he was, and I'm referring to Joseph, because he didn't lose faith in God's ability to work. Listen, you got to be and do who God created you to be and do in every circumstance, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
How about the purpose fulfilled? The purpose was fulfilled. Genesis 41, verse 38, just before I read this, you know the story. Joseph is in prison. The Pharaoh's butler and baker get thrown in prison. They have dreams. Joseph, with the Spirit of God on him, is able to interpret their dreams, to tell them what the dreams mean. And the butler is restored to Pharaoh. The baker loses his life, just like Joseph had said. And he tells the butler, now listen, when you get back to Pharaoh, mention me. I'm here unjustly. Well, of course, come on. Ever been there? They forget all about you when they get to the top. Now, what was your name? But then Pharaoh has a dream. And no one is able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And then, because it's going to look really good for the butler, he suddenly remembers Joseph. Because then he can go to Pharaoh and say, I've got your answer. Listen, God can use people like that too to promote you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. He didn't get mad at the butler. He didn't get unforgiveness. And then God eventually used the butler. And the butler said, listen, there's this man in prison that I had a dream, and the baker had a dream, and both of them came true. And so Pharaoh calls Joseph out of prison. He tells Joseph his dream. Joseph immediately tells Pharaoh, listen, I can't interpret dreams. Only God can. He gives all the glory to God. And then once he interprets the dream, then Pharaoh promotes Joseph, and here it is. Genesis 41, verse 38. It says, so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Wow, dream come true. Purpose fulfilled. Or really is his purpose fulfilled? Could it be that the palace wasn't the purpose? The palace was only the position. It wasn't the purpose. God needed Joseph to be in position in the palace so then Joseph could fulfill his real purpose.
Yeah.
You see, and some of us can't handle the position because we've lost sight of who we are in Christ. And we think that the do is who we are. And then so if we ever got raised up to that position, we would think we are somebody.
Come on.
And we'd look down on other people. But Joseph knew who he was. He had let God work in him. And he'd let God work things out around him. He'd seen God work. He trusted in God. He wasn't impressed with Pharaoh. He respected Pharaoh's authority. But he knew who gave him that position. And he knew that it was for God's purpose. Listen, whatever gift you have, whatever position you have, it is for God's purpose. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
You need to ask God, God, if you've given me influence with this person at this job, then help me, show me my purpose. Now we see Joseph's real purpose. His brothers come, you know the story. There's a famine all throughout the land. His brothers and Jacob, his father, are starving. They know that grain is down in Egypt, so they have to go down to Egypt to buy grain. And who does his brothers meet up with when they go to Egypt except for Joseph? But they don't know it's Joseph. And you got to admit, Joseph has a little fun with them at first. Yeah. Nothing mean, just a little fun. But then his brothers are before him. And Joseph can't hold back his love for them anymore. Amen. And he tells all of his people to go out of the room, all the Egyptians. And he just breaks down. And he starts crying. And he says, I'm Joseph. They wanted to cry right then. Because they knew he had the power to have them killed, to wipe them out, and nobody would say a word. People would do it, and there'd be no skin off Joseph's back. He would go on living. But Joseph knew his purpose because he had allowed God to work in him, and he had allowed God to work things out around him. And here was Joseph's purpose finally revealed through this position. And here's how Joseph responds to them, because they get upset, of course, when he reveals himself. But Genesis 45:5, Joseph says to his brothers, but don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. I don't know about you, but if I was Joseph, I would have said, if you want to be a little angry with yourself, you can.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God had done a work in him.
Yeah.
And he said, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Now listen, here's the purpose. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't about the position. It was about the person Joseph had become, and it was about God's purpose that he was fulfilling. And you talk about joy. He lived out his life in the palace, but it's because of who he was, and he knew and understood God's purpose, and he let God work. Listen, can I encourage you today as we close this out? Let God work. Let God work in you. Let God work around you.
Amen.
Let me give you this scripture as we close. Because you may be saying, Pastor Jane, it's pretty hard to work when things aren't going good out here. Ooh, it's hard to do good when good things aren't happening. God will help you. Remember who's in you. He's not only working in you. He's also in there giving you the strength to do what he's asking you to do. Philippians 2:13 says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, the reason he's working in you is because when he does that work in you, then you're going to have the power. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the power from the inside out. You don't have to look out here for people to put you in the right position. You don't have to get to know so-and-so. No, you got the power. Because you let God work in you, now God's power is working in you so that you can do the things that please him. And listen, when God works in you and God works things out around you, it turns out good.
Yeah.
Come on, anybody ready for some good? Did you get something out of that this morning? I hope that you did. Listen, can I invite you, share the message. You know, sign in right now. Go to your Facebook, sign in, tell them you've been at church. Later on today, you can go out to the website. You can download the podcast, share the word. So many people need to hear.